lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As I look around today, I ask myself, where are the churches? Why aren't churches standing up? And I'm speaking of local churches. How come the church is not standing up? And when I say the church, I'm speaking of people. I'm speaking of the real church. Church that have the people who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's how you become part of God's church. You don't become part of God's church simply by church membership. You don't become a member of God's church simply by baptism, by being sprinkled or going down into water and coming up out of water. That does not make you part of God's church. That does not make you a Christian. The only way a person is made a Christian is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says all things become new when we trust Him as Lord and Savior. That's why He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. We're born into this world once, and if something doesn't happen, we're going to die twice. You're born once to die twice. You die twice, that is, without the Lord Jesus Christ. This old body is going to die. That's the first death. The Bible says without Jesus Christ, there is a second death, and that second death will take place the moment that person stands at the white throne judgment and is cast into the lake of fire. The Bible tells us that that is the second death. So when a person is born into this world, they're born to die once and then twice if something doesn't happen. Well, that something that happens is this. After a person is born into this world, they must make a decision whether or not to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to receive the second birth. We receive the second birth to die once. And that is the old body dies, the physical death. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Sad that those people who die without the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, when this body dies, that person who dies, it's sad that many people will be judged because they have not trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That judgment, once again, takes place at the white throne judgment. That is the last judgment that that person will ever experience because they will be cast into the lake of fire. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has already paid for our sin. He has taken upon himself, and the Bible teaches us there was a sin debt that had to be paid. That's my personal sin. And Jesus took it upon himself to die for me personally. And you as an individual, he died for you, but I wonder, have you accepted that? Have you really trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and said, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe and I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need something different in my life if I want to go to heaven. And Lord, I want to go to heaven and I'm trusting you as my Savior because your word tells me that you've taken my sin upon yourself. Once I have trusted you as Lord, you have received me as one of yours, and therefore I know that I'm on my way to heaven because I have trusted the Word of God. I have trusted the living Word of God, and you are the living Word, Lord. And I ask you right now to come into my heart and save me because I want to see you one day and thank you personally. The Bible teaches that there is such a thing as repentance. That means that you're willing to go God's way, and you're not going to go your way any longer. You're trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know you can't save yourself, so you need to call upon the Lord today and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Well, the early church, there were certain things that happened within that early church. And that early church, of course, is a church at Jerusalem. Peter preached a message, and about 3,000 souls got saved. And I believe there was more, according to what we read. And there were certain things that took place after the preaching of the word, and that local church was formed. And let me stop here just a moment and say that the local church is where we gather together as Christians to have fellowship. We worship the Lord together. Now, we can worship the Lord anywhere, but when we gather our hearts and souls together in a local congregation, we are worshiping together. We're fellowshipping together, and we're letting other believers know that we love them and that we love God. And we're letting this lost, dying world know that we love God and that they too can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They can become part of us. They can become part of the church. We are the church, those people who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And let me quickly remind you that there is a visible church. That's us. We're not invisible. The visible church is us, people who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that visible church can be seen as we gather ourselves together in the local congregation. We're part of that. You need to belong to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church that stands upon the Word of God, that preaches the Word of God as it is to men as they are. And men as they are without Jesus Christ are sinners, lost on their way to hell. Well, the early church, and I spoke of this last time, how that the early church produced fear. And that fear came about because they were serving God. The fear was there because something had taken place and people couldn't understand it at first. But then they realized that they could have what these people who had gotten saved, they realized they could have what they had by trusting Jesus Christ. Not only was there fear, not only did the early church produce fear, but there was unity in the local church. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 44, the first part of that verse says, "And all that believed were together." Notice those words, "were together." They were joined together for the same cause. They were united. And one of the best means for strengthening the faith of young converts is for them often, you catch that word often, to meet together for prayer, conversation, and praise. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." There's many local congregations today who meet one time a week, and that's it. They do not meet any other time. But you see, we get strength as we gather together. Now, the Lord is the one who gives us the strength, but we also need flesh and blood around us. That other saved individual, those other saved individuals who we draw from, we have fellowship with each other. Let me read that verse again, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling." Now notice the words "not forsaking." That means don't do it. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to assemble together. And it says there's some who do not do this, as a manner of some is, it says. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. And that's those people who do not see the necessity or the privilege of joining with other believers in a local congregation. I believe that every born-again child of God needs to belong to a local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. And the verse goes on to say in Hebrews 10:25, "exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." What day? Well, I'm looking for a specific day right now. That is the day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds and he says, "Come up hither." We read about that in Acts chapter 1, where we're told, as those men, you would call them angels, whatever, they stood by and they asked the people who were standing there watching Jesus go up in the air after his resurrection. They said, "Why are you standing here gazing up into the air? This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner." In other words, he's coming back in the clouds, and he's going to say, "Come up hither," and we're going to go up to be with him. But you see, there's also a second coming that's going to take place. And I'm looking forward to that because the Bible teaches me in the book of Revelation that I'm coming back with him. You see, before I can come back with him, I've got to be with him. I've got to go to be with him first. And that means that I'm going up to meet him in the air, the rapture of the church. And then at his second coming, I'm coming back with him. And what a glorious time that's going to be for people who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as we come back with our Lord. Well, we're to gather ourselves together. We're to join together and have fellowship one with another and worship the Lord together. But see, the church had also all things common according to the Word of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 goes on to say, and had all things common. Well, God does not favor one person above another. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, we're going to read in just a moment. Well, God gives each of us what we need to get the job done. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11 says that, and God gives salvation freely to all who will accept it. And he gives his church strength and ability to get his great commission accomplished. Now notice with me, if you would, Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God does not favor one person in this world over another." 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11 says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." That means that God is no respecter of persons, that he gives to every person what they need. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20 tells us that he's given us what we need to do something. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Well, how do we do that? Well, we gather strength and we get strength from each other, but there's one person that gives us the strength that we really need to be serving the Lord. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You see, I believe that we receive the power from God himself to be able to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, I can't witness. I can't do that." Well, you need to call upon the Lord because you have the power. You need to act, tap into that power. You need to let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. And you need to understand that you have that power once you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have the power to be a witness for our Lord and Savior. Well, I believe the Christians shared with each other what they had in the early church. But I also believe it goes deeper than that. I believe what they shared was more important than anything else they had, and that was the common salvation. What does that mean? It means the gospel is for everyone. Jude, verse 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." That means that we are to go out and tell people that just as we got saved, they can be saved. Common salvation, that means for the common person. Are you a common person? I'm glad that I'm a common person because I trusted Jesus Christ for the common salvation that he offers. That means he is no respecter of persons. He's able to save anyone who will call upon him and trust him as Lord and Savior. And won't you do that today? Ask him to come into your heart. He wants to save you right now. "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Lord, I'm turning from my sin as best I can, and I'm turning to you. And I'm turning away from myself. I'm turning to you, and I'm trusting you to save me right now. In Jesus' name." If you'll pray a prayer something like that, God will save you. The prayer won't save you. It's by trusting Jesus Christ. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.